This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You have reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Flora. This is Mariana. I've been watching old episodes of Unsolved Mysteries, and there's this weird sound in it that's just kind of chilly. I just really want to know, why is it so spooky, and what the heck kind of instrument is making it? I hope you know the answer to this, or you know people who know it.
Hello.
Hey, this is Flora from Every Little Thing, calling you back about the spooky sound effect.
Hey.
I'm also hearing a sound effect in the background.
Yeah. So I have a baby. She's about 5 months old, and she just ate, and she was in such a good mood, and now she has hiccups. And so that's kind of the soundtrack of my life right now, is these little hiccups.
Do you want to play her the spooky sound you called about to see if we can scare him out of her?
Oh, I'm not into torturing, but...
What's her name?
Her name is Suzette, and we call her Susie.
Okay, great. Well, maybe I'll ask her a question here and there.
Okay.
Okay. Mariana, you called about a sound that you heard on Unsolved Mysteries. So we began our investigation with the primary source.
Was it an extraordinary UFO event? Judge for yourself.
Okay, let me play it for you one more time.
Yeah, that's my sound.
It does give a particular vibe. I mean, we tried mocking up that same scene with another classic sound effect. Let's just see if you can hear the difference.
Okay.
Okay, so it's going to be subtle, though. So I want you got to listen carefully.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, here it goes.
Was it an extraordinary UFO event? Judge for yourself.
That was alarming, but in a totally different kind of way. More like jump out of your skin scary.
Like clown scary.
Yes, like clown scary, exactly. Like there's just a clown behind me with one of those like squeeze tube bugle things.
So Mariana, here's the thing. This sound... didn't just haunt Unsolved Mysteries. Like ghosts, this sound is actually everywhere.
Ooh, okay.
It was in Star Trek.
This device serves no purpose.
The Matrix.
Really?
Back to the Future. Batman.
I think I've heard of a few of these art house productions.
Chinatown, Poltergeist, Dick Tracy, Alien, Jurassic Park.
Containing the fossilized remains of a prehistoric mosquito.
The Usual Suspects, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Black Hawk Down, Let the Right One In, X-Files, True Blood, Lost, Mummy Returns, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, A Christmas Carol, Hugo, and a whole series of movies about hobbits fighting over jewelry.
Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole full of worms and oozy smells. This was a hobbit hole. And that means good food.
So, are you going to tell me how they make it, or are we just going to...
Wow.
I'm impatient. Sorry. I'm so excited about it.
Okay, Mariana, what do you want to know?
it just doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard before. And I don't understand, like, what kind of instrument are they using to make this terrible sound?
Okay, this sound comes from an instrument called a waterphone.
A waterphone.
A waterphone.
Like a phone that is like electrified and it is in a bucket of water or something. Maybe that's too on the nose, but.
I just sent you a picture.
Okay.
And we'll put it on the ELT Instagram too.
Oh, here we go. Okay. So it's like a pipe with a bunch of other pipes. I mean, I think if I found this on the street, I would think it was some kind of weird street art.
Yeah, so the waterphone is made up of two metal salad bowls welded together with tines sticking up around the sides. It's like the salad bowl is wearing a crown.
But how does the sound actually come out?
You put water in the salad bowl center, and then you play it by hitting with a mallet or running a bow against the tines.
Okay. And how old is this thing? Like, is this an ancient type of instrument, or is this a newer creation?
I love that you think it's ancient, because it does look that way.
Yeah.
We found someone who can resolve this mystery for you. Her name is Raimi.
Okay, Raimi.
The waterphone was invented in a chicken coop turned welding shed in my backyard.
Raimi's dad, Richard Waters, invented the waterphone in 1968. He was an artist and a musician. He passed away a couple years ago. But Raimi says this is how you should picture the waterphone's birthplace.
Imagine you're in an indoor junkyard.
Okay.
Like scrap metal everywhere, bits and pieces of rubber and string and rope. And he had like the guts of a piano in there just standing up against the wall, and you could kind of play it just like a harp almost, you know, like you could pick at the strings.
Now picture Richard Waters, a little over 30 years old, brown hair with a beard, welding salad bowls together.
He would just sort of slap on a pair of glasses because it can injure your eyes. So he did do that, and a leather vest. And then he would just weld out on this overhang.
He's like, my arms are fine.
Yeah. I mean, and for the most part, they were.
So I'm picturing him in just a leather vest and
jeans, like pants for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I have the picture. I got it.
Okay. Yeah. Please hold that image in your mind, because these are the fertile conditions from which this sound sprung.
He just sort of refined it over the years. And by the end, he had a TIG welder and was engraving his name into them like a signed piece.
Why did he invent this?
You know, I don't know. I think he saw it as an artistic endeavor.
From what Raimi says, making money from the waterphone was not her dad's priority.
That just wasn't his interest. If he had like 18 waterphone orders, but he felt like going to the beach that day, he just went to the beach. He just didn't care.
It's weird that someone who basically didn't seemed to be all that interested in business, managed to parlay this instrument, this like weird instrument, into something that now we've all heard. How did he manage that?
I think Susie really wants to know.
I know, she does. She's like, why are you making me wait so long, Flora?
Susie, I asked Raimi that very question. So how did the waterphone go from your backyard to being used across Hollywood productions?
I think it was word of mouth. I mean, there has to be like a patient zero, but I do not know who it was.
But we do.
Ooh.
After the break, we pay a visit to the legendary percussionist who catapulted the waterphone to stardom. Mariana, we found the guy who made the waterphone a thing.
Hey.
Hi.
Come in.
I'm Flora.
My name.
Thank you for having me. Meet Emil Richards, an 86-year-old percussionist who lives in L.A. His house is right between Warner Brothers and Universal Studios. And in film scoring circles, he is a celebrity. In fact, when I walked in, there was an entourage of young musicians sitting on his living room couches. Hi, sorry to interrupt your visit.
Don't worry about it. No. What you gotta do?
So, you know why I'm here?
I know why you're here.
The water phone.
I know.
Emil has played music with George Harrison, Frank Sinatra, Doris Day, Charles Mingus, Perry Como, Judy Garland, and he's worked on more than 2,000 movie scores.
Holy mackerel.
He's a living legend, or in his words, a freak.
I was the freak at the time, the main freak.
When I talked to Emil, he dropped the freak bomb 11 times in 24 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But most percussionists are freaks with sound anyway, you know.
Were you always a sound freak?
It probably started seven years old. I used to get thrown out of hardware stores.
What would you do?
Bang two pieces of metal together, you know. Just trying to come up with a different sound that I hadn't heard before. It was annoying to people in the, going to a hardware store looking for drywall or something. After a while, they say, get out of here. You move. What is that? You're making too much noise. Get out of here.
And once a freak, always a freak. As an adult, Emil traveled the world collecting instruments that made different sounds he hadn't heard before.
Every time I came back from a trip, my phone would ring off the hook. Composers would say, what's new? I got to have the first use of it, you know. That happened all the time.
Emil became the go-to person in Hollywood for new and interesting sounds. And someone who knew Richard Waters told Emil he had to hear the water phone.
When I first heard it, I thought it was pretty interesting, pretty strange. And being the sound freak that I was, I had to have one.
What was it about this instrument that you said?
Well, what do you think?
You tell me.
No, you tell me.
You're the expert.
What do you think of the sound?
I think it's wild.
Okay, that's what I thought. And I knew that it would enhance all the percussionists' ammunition to show composers and to work with.
This is how we go from patient zero to water phone pandemic. Emil showed it off. Composers heard its weird, spooky sound. And in Emil's words,
they all freaked. You know, they all freaked.
He still has his water phone.
Oh, let me hear it.
Okay, so if you put some water in.
He took it to the kitchen sink, turned on the tap, filled it up, and played it for you.
This is what it sounds like.
Wow.
That's with the mallet.
Do you know, like, the first time it was in a movie?
Yes. It was 1971, and the movie was called The Hellstrom Chronicle.
It was a documentary, and I think it was on bugs.
And I just want you to get a taste of the movie. So I'm sending you a link.
Okay. I see these, like... Oh my God, is that a snake? I'm not sure what that is. It's either a snake or like millions of ants. It's ants.
They are called Siafu, the driver ant, a mindless, unstoppable killing machine. Dedicated.
There was just some strange stuff. It was very strange footage. And this instrument worked really well.
Driven forward through the darkness by a single demanding need within, the need to kill and plunder.
Oh my God, they're building like an ant-made bridge. Oh, they're like on these rocks. Woo! Okay, I need to pause this.
Yeah, pause.
It's really gross. Pause. I'm going to focus back on you.
Yes, focus, because that insect documentary was just the beginning. From there, the water phone spread across IMDb like a swarm of ants.
C- can we go back to Unsolved Mysteries? How did it end up in Unsolved Mysteries?
Okay. Wow.
You're in luck, Mariana. There is a person who can tell us how this strange and specific instrument ended up on this strange and specific show.
I was laughing at how what a narrow subject this is. It's like, will I be able to...
This is Gary Malkin. He scored Unsolved Mysteries for 14 years.
Wow.
Gary, thank you for scaring me as a child.
Oh, my God. Well, it's payback, because I used to get scared by the guy who did Perry Mason in the 60s. The trill, and then da-da, and then stop. That, right? And it was so f***ing, pardon me, I shouldn't say that. It was so startling.
I would have to agree.
So Gary wanted to startle the shit out of his own audience, but instead of using trilling violin stabs, he had another tool.
The waterphone was a prime example of the kind of thing we did to establish that there was something foreboding and unknown and unexplainable that was coming into the scene, and nothing could do it better than these kinds of sounds.
So, Mariana, do you have a theory about why the waterphone is creepy? Like, what it is about that sound that makes it work?
I bet it works because it's not something that any of us have ever heard. It's not something that we can say, oh, that's just a violin, don't worry about it, because it's not anything, you know, you learned about in music class.
That's actually very close to Gary's theory.
A lot of what makes things chilling and scary, and a lot of the reasons why the waterphone has been so effective, is it can go between all the lines of the scale that we've determined in Western music, as, you know, the 12 tones, right? So we go C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C is the normal diatonic scale.
And most Western music is based around those notes.
Uh-huh.
So the waterphone has the full spectrum of sound and floats through it quite freely.
The waterphone doesn't stick to the scale that most people are used to.
When you alter that, just right out the gate, you're dealing with something that frightens people because it's so out of their context. It's so out of their context of understanding of what that is, right? And that's one of the things that scares the shit out of people.
If you listened to Unsolved Mysteries and you were accustomed to atonal music, would it be just like a happy show, not scary at all? A sitcom?
That's a great question. I love that. Well, in a way, now it's so retro that it is funny.
But Mariana, Gary had another theory about what might make the waterphone creepy.
I think it has something to do with our relationship to suffering and the human voice, right? So the ultimate, and in some ways very easy way to get people afraid, is to move into a sound texture that imitates a level of groaning, of sobbing, of moaning, of haunting, of... The waterphone is another expression of the cry. And by the way, I've never said these words before, so I'm totally extemporizing, but it makes sense to me that sound that we're most afraid of are the sounds of grief and loss, because most people are terrified of death, loss, and illness. And these sounds remind us of the things we most are afraid of.
Hmm.
It's my theory, and I never said it before this moment, so there.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit also is like sad sounds that like either babies make or like the weird, creepy sound that cats make, like meow.
The low meow.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is there a cat in the background right now? Yeah. Is there a cat meowing on cue?
We thought that she'd be quieter if I put her away, and that has not worked out very well.
So what do you think? Mystery unsolved?
Yeah, definitely. Mystery unsolved. I actually think the sound feels less scary now to me. I'll have to see when I watch Unsolved Mysteries again.
Well, Mariana, big news on that front.
I can't officially say this, but let's just say that very soon, a new popular streaming service is coming forth. You know about it?
Did you hear the news?
I did hear the news, and I'm really excited about it.
Netflix reboot. Unsolved Mysteries is coming back.
Hopefully they're going to use the same music.
Gary, are you going to score it?
I'm throwing my hat in the ring. Pray for me, baby. I'm hoping to get it. I really want to do the theme and the score. Be great after all these years.
Will we hear the waterphone in it?
Well, you know, if I get the score, I'll be sure to put the waterphone in more. That'll be really great. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. It's like they say on Saturday Night Live where they say more cowbell, more waterphone. Just more waterphone all the time.
If you have a question you can't find the answer to, give us a ring, 833-RING-ELT. And if you like ELT, do us a favor and tell a friend. Then take their phone out of their bag and forcibly subscribe them to the show. They can find us on Stitcher or wherever they get their podcasts.
Every Little Thing is produced by Aaron Reese, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Dara Hirsch and Bobby Lord. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Special thanks to Brooks Hubbard. Oh. Goodbye.